sleep. Melissa is a registered dance movement therapist and associate professional clinical counselor. Melissa specializes in dance movement therapy techniques in conjunction with other expressive and integrative therapies to promote healing and positive self-transformation to overcome and manage trauma, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, and other challenges. Her framework is based on Chasian, DMT, and Laban movement analysis to observe, assess, and offer treatment with appropriate interventions in her DMT practice. Melissa also uses Carl Rogers' person-centered therapy theories, motivational interviewing, internal family systems, and grief therapy, along with the psychological approaches including cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, and incorporates mindfulness, Jungian psychotherapy, psychodynamic therapy, and Alderanian psychology in her multidimensional approach to treatment. She builds a therapeutic relationship tailored to meet the moment's needs to enhance insight and growth in every individual. Outside of her therapeutic work, Melissa is a professional ballet dancer who dances with Realm Company in Los Angeles.
Welcome, Melissa. Let's get started. We're all just sitting here giggling.
As one does, though, this is what we do. We sit here, we giggle, we breathe, we sigh, we shake. We do all the things. We sip tea.
I'm drinking tea, actually.
Ooh.
Ah, so you see, nothing super special. It's just like an elderberry vitamin C thing because I get so superstitious right before I'm like perform that I'm like all the like immune support, this, that, I get a little like overboard.
I love that.
Yeah,
so
that's
is
perfection. That's
yeah, so a nice. Little ritual, like pre-show ritual. Okay.
I tend to have that. I'd love to just answer briefly, but yes, I have like certain little things that like right before kind of like a week to a show that I'm like, I have to have my nails done a certain color and I have to drink like my favorite tea and, you know, do my like favorite exercises and things. So it's a little bit maybe of like, I don't want to say a superstition. It could very well be, but it's also like, it makes me feel good and like ready to go, you know, for the hard thing. So I'm like, I have to have all my little things like together.
So yeah. You're a little stitious. Yeah.
Performance. So that's like what so much of performance is. It's the headspace, right? It's the, you know, interconnection of mind and body. Right. So
it is.
I think that's
so
very much a part of our work, you know? And also who we are as people. I think it makes sense that you have your traditions.
Yes. Yes, it helps clear my mind.
So, Melissa, what drew you into therapy work as a whole?
Yes, I love this question. I actually, you know, it's interesting because I have always been a performer, a dancer. That's really where my life has been for as long as I can remember, that is like what I will be doing till I physically cannot do it anymore. Like that's just a matter of fact. But I, during COVID, was still in, I was at the end of my undergrad program and was kind of like, you know, I had all these auditions lined up back home and in other various places. And very shortly, you know, once all the news spread, basically like all my auditions got canceled. And I sort of had a moment of like, oh my goodness, what am I going to be doing? You know, if I can't perform, what am I going to be doing? This is like a huge part of why I got my undergrad. So I was kind of more set up for that. I didn't really want to just teach dance anymore. Like I go in from time to time to sub, but it just wasn't like, this is what I want my career to be. So I had to do a lot of just sort of reassessing, reached out to other people, kind of like, what are you doing? You know, we're in the middle of a brand new pandemic. Like, what are our options? I remember actually, cause I was teaching kind of outside of like school a couple days a week at a local ballet studio. And I remember this one coworker of mine had mentioned dance therapy, and it kind of was sort of like the light bulb went off and was like, oh my God, I have to reach out to this person. I need to know more. I want to just, you know all the stuff about that. So she had just graduated that year, kind of when I was ending my undergrad. And she was like, oh yeah, the school I went to is, I mean, out of the several, there was one right in Cambridge. And I kind of was like, well, I'm sort of trapped here anyway. I might as well make the best of it. And I looked into the program. Another one of my really good friends was also interested in it, who I went to college with. And it kind of just was like this whole other avenue or this whole other path that just sort of opened up for me. And I was like, this could be something I could really sink my teeth into and like really integrate it into my performative career. And even when I'm out teaching or doing other various things, I just thought it was so cool and kind of it jump started me thinking too of like, what will I do after I'm done dancing? Like, what does my life look like once performing is no longer a thing? So this is sort of what I jumped in. I dove head first. I wasn't even fully like, I'm in it or I'm out. I was kind of like, I'm taking the risk and I'm doing this program. So that was kind of that, of just sort of like reassessing where my life was at the beginning of the pandemic and what I would see myself also doing that had a relation to dance and movement, because that to me is so essential to no matter what I do, I needed to have kind of another career outside of dance and performing for myself that I would still be kind of fulfilled with and happy and satisfied. And so that's what led me to therapy, specifically dance therapy. But of course that naturally kind of trickled into the licensure and all these other things that I was introduced to. And I was like, whoa, this is like a whole bigger picture than I like expected. So that's been kind of a whirlwind doing like juggling all of these various things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but has that been the most surprising thing, is like learning about the licensure, or is there other things that you were just kind of like taken aback by after getting into dance therapy?
Yeah, great question. I think, yes, I was definitely very surprised about that, because I was already maybe my second semester into grad school, and I was, you know, and it was a huge adjustment for me, because in undergrad, it was a performative degree. So I was dancing all day, had classes in the evening, but it was all like physical engagement, to the total opposite end of grad school being like paper and critical thinking. And I just was sort of like, oh my God, I need to, I feel so rusty. I need to get back into the groove of like being an actual student. Like I felt like an actual student again, which is kind of interesting to say that, because in college I was a student, but I felt like I was in a company. So it was like a way different vibe and feel. So it was surprising going into Leslie and, you know, being told by this one woman who dealt with all the like state licensing that she's like, by the way, this is something you don't have to do, but we encourage people to do it and it is available to you, was kind of the whole licensing. But then it made sense, because I was like, well, this degree is, yes, focusing on dance therapy, but you are also getting like an actual clinical mental health degree, you know, that you can do general counseling with as well. So I was like, okay, I'm already in, I'm invested. That's who I am as a person. I'm all in or I'm all out. So I was like, I'm not going to just do one side of this. I think I'm probably more profitable in some ways if I do both, and if I have access to both, no matter which angle I want to focus on more. So that did come as a little bit of a shock, because I was sort of like, oh my God, you know, it was confusing to keep the two separate in terms of like, you need hours for this and hours for that. And they're totally like, they interconnect, but they are essentially like, you're working on like a dual degree or licensing. So yes.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. And you're on the West Coast with me.
I am, yes.
And it varies state by state, which is wild. So
yeah. In California, was what was told to me was California was like the hardest state to get licensed in. Like one of the most in terms of like, you have, I mean, it was like a laundry list of extra requirements I had to do, like another class and like 17 other courses, you know, and I was just blown away. Like, what do you mean all of this extra stuff? Isn't this being like overqualified? Like, I don't get it. But yeah, you know, and I'm also thinking of one day maybe getting licensed in Massachusetts as well, just so I can have like something on both sides. 'Cause I feel like that's sort of where I'm all, this is another another time in my life, but at some point I'm thinking of doing that too.
Is there a reason Massachusetts above anywhere else?
You know, I love Massachusetts as much as maybe I sort of resented it when I was in school because I lived there for so long. I was like, I am so ready to go back home to California. But honestly, since I've been away, there has been a part of me that has like missed it. And that was my home for such a long time. And having my degree come out of Massachusetts, it would be very like accessible for me to just also be licensed there. I don't know if I'd necessarily move back there, but I'm kind of like, I'd love to do like a bi-coastal thing one day. Or, you know, just be able to take clients from both coasts if I'm remote and travel, you know. So it's just sort of like what is going to be like kind of at my fingertips that is going to make things like fun and interesting. And I can meet a whole bunch of different types of people. And so, yeah, I love, you know, Massachusetts. I'm from New York originally, but there's something like about having lived there and gone through the whole school experience that draws me back there sometimes.
Do you know if Massachusetts specifically, you have to be in the state of Massachusetts to practice? Can you see clients remotely in other states? Because I know each state has like very specific, as we were saying, everything's so specific. And of course, state to state, it makes sense. The regulations are different. I think too, because for me with the state of New York, we have to physically be in the state of New York.
Right, right, right.
I'm curious. And I think that that's also a really great idea. So I'm like, right? Like, so if we were to like have remote work and also, you know, be in the state, but I think this is something to look into and I want to look into it as well, because I think that it would be awesome if there are states to be just like simply remote where you, you know, you live there for a time or you, you know someone that lives there and you stay there or whatever else have you. Because speaking specifically, my brother lives in Massachusetts and I feel like, you know, I have a space up there, so I could go and stay at that space up there. And I
love it.
Right? So.
Yeah. No, 100%. I know for California, that I could be wherever, but my clients have to be in California.
Got it.
They can't be necessarily, well, it's a little like there are exceptions. Like if they're out of the country, you can see them, but if they're in another state, you have to follow whatever that state requirement is. I usually err on the side of caution. If clients like going out of state for like a week or two, we just don't meet unless they're like in crisis or they're going through a big adjustment period. We just won't meet because I don't want to get all caught up in kind of the state to state differences. Yeah. But I think for Massachusetts, it's the same. Don't quote me on that, but I have a friend who's licensed or not licensed there, but she's working on pre-license there and also in Rhode Island, and they seem to be about the same. And it's kind of that same thing of like your clients need to be there, but you can be somewhere else. So New York might be different because I was even interested in looking into New York at some point too, of like, I'd love to be licensed there as well, or you know, whatever that would look like.
Yeah, LCAT. Love it.
Yeah. Yes.
Kirsten and I talk about it all the time of this like state to state differences. Like, what does it look like in Oregon? What does it look like in New Jersey? What does it look like in New York? Because I live so close to the borders of New York and New Jersey that, you know, and it's so different. Like, I could be 15 minutes apart from, you know, different practices, yet the regulations are so, so different. So that's part of what we're doing on this podcast is, like, bringing up what does California look like? What does New York look like? What does Oregon look like? Et cetera, et cetera. And, like, you know, how are the standards, you know, different throughout.
Yeah.
But there's something I want to touch upon too, this dual identity. I don't want this to pass up of holding duality within performing and also being a clinician. I feel like this is something that I really want to touch upon specifically with you in this episode. If that's okay, we can riff.
Oh, of course.
For like a hot second.
This just makes me giggle because in my company, like all I can think about when this therapy stuff comes up is like my director, who's also like a dear friend of mine. We met actually like the beginning of the pandemic when I was sort of like back and forth from Massachusetts at that time because everything just went online that I was sort of like, I don't want to stay isolated in Boston. So like when it was kind of deemed safe, my brother and I flew back home for almost a year and just did school from home and for like 9 months. But that aside, my ballet studio was like having open space classes, kind of not inside the studio, but they built like a studio outside of the studio. So it was like outdoors and the fresh air and we all masked. And it, I mean, looking back now, it's a very like weird thing, but I'm so also grateful for that because I like, we wouldn't have been able to dance. But whenever therapy comes up, like in the studio, certain things are maybe said that we as clinicians would be like, oh, that gave me like an ick, or like, oh, we don't say that, or oh, like, and he's like, and he jokes and says I'm like HR, I'm like the company's HR. Like, it just, oh my God. That's so he's funny. Like, only if Melissa were there and she heard what they were saying in that meeting. And I was like, I don't want to be there. I need to keep that life. Well, and that's the thing. I'm like, do I keep myself kind of separate? Like, this is when I'm in the studio, I'm in the studio. When I'm working with clients, I'm a clinician. Or, you know, like I've been kind of saying throughout, of sort of, I am trying to always build on that integration of like bringing the two together because they both are parts of me. I mean, maybe one's a little bit more of like, that's been more of my life and I'm still figuring out my identity as a therapist, but they do, whether I'm like noticing it or not, like kind of come through together. So it's interesting.
Yeah. And the sometimes, reason I ask, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kirsten.
Oh, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes it's so nice to have it like blend like those like identities. And other times it's like, nope, I need a separate box for this and something for this. So absolutely that just resonated with me. Sorry, Emily, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like that's something that a lot of us come into this field with is, you know, some past dance experience, right? And like what that looks like, be it studio, you know, competition, what, you know, like some form of just like recital, some form of like, you know, cultural, or I don't know, there's so many different forms of dancing and movement, right? So I feel like there are folks like us who come in, I'm saying us because I came from a musical theater background, right? So this like performance self that we, you know, do we call upon? Do we not call upon it? You know, what hat are we wearing? Are we wearing a hat that's like right down the middle? Like, what does that look like? And I think it's super interesting too that, you know, who comes forward and who sits in the back and who sits in the back and who comes forward. And I remember when I first was, you know, learning about dance and movement therapy and what it looks like in practice, a good friend of mine, Joanna, was like, you know, it's not performing, because she knew me as a performer. And she was like, just so you know, like, it is very much so not performing. It can look like performing at times. The directive itself might be, you know, performing, creating a dance to show or something, you know. But it's separate. And as a clinician, there is this like, you know, again, these two hats of like, you know, holding space and taking up space. And I think that that's like, for me, the dance that I do is this holding space, taking up space, you know, and then just like seeing what's present, seeing what kind of prompting is needed, et cetera. Right. So I think that that's really cool. And I also want to ask you, without, you know, jumping and taking up too much space, as talking about dance studio integration of dance and movement therapy. I know you had briefly mentioned that. Can you speak a little bit more to that, like integrating dance and movement therapy in a studio setting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to. And I also like definitely resonated with what you said of, I kind of deal with that on a weekly basis of like, I love to go to the studio just for me, like that is my time, this is my therapy, you know, that sort of thing. But still always trying to like find that balance too. But I mean, one of my like bigger goals, I guess, in the long term is I would love, whether it's my own private practice studio, like I always growing up wanted a ballet studio because like, I just want like that space, want to cultivate young minds and, you know, all that wonderful stuff. But now that I've gone into this other side of the work, it's like, I would love to have that in addition to having movement therapy in the curriculum of like ballet, tap, you know, whatever is going on, like having that one class, at least for mindfulness, And that's something that I've even been kind of locally branching out to, like Millennium Dance Complex and like other dance studios, even like holistic kinds of places offering like sound bath or yoga or whatever. And just being like, hey, this is what I do. If you've heard of it, yada, 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 doing the whole kind of like spiel or in service. And just cause I think it's so essential, honestly, because I, you know, wish growing up that that was really a thing that was like built into my curriculum. I think I would have had a totally different outlook on like body image and like how I feel and look and think about myself and like my own dialogue and my own inner critic. And, you know, all of those things would have shaped so differently. But if that could be incorporated now into like dance studios today, I feel like so many students and young girls and even boys or however you identify, you know, it doesn't matter. It would be so unique to their experience of like, wow, like I can do this really structured and like classical thing or, you know, and I'm speaking more so on ballet, but just it gives them that space to like, if you want to do that and love that, but then here's this other like offering or this other lens of, you know, yes, this can be very rigid and like very stylized and you can still incorporate the like mindfulness and taking care of your body and just, you know, having this other lens to look through is something that I'm so eager and like dedicated to somehow figuring that out, whether it's like in a group practice or my own private practice or even just having a studio and building that into the schedule. I would love to do that just because, you know, I can see how beneficial that would have been if I think about like me and my own dance friends and every one of us has suffered in some way of like body image or, you know, eating related kind of, you know, challenges and just even your own like self-talk in those things like that affect you on a day-to-day basis. Like it just would have been so different and nice to have that. So that's really what I feel super passionate about.
That's such strong work, like such strong work. I love the idea of the integration of dance movement therapy into a curriculum, into a schedule, because I think that from a very young age, especially if we grow up in studio, that we develop our nervous system regulation using movement without language or understanding of. And if someone had just said to us, hey, like, look at your emotional health on top of this movement and how they're interconnected, I would have been like, whoa, you know? So
yeah, no,
that connection, 100%. We know how to do it. We know how to do it intrinsically. And I spoke to a group of dancers at a dance studio, Ziegler's Dance Center, shout out my home school, that we talked about, listen, like, you know how to do this intrinsically. You know how to express yourself using movement. Dance is a language. Speak, you know? So... Yeah,
I love that. You actually just gave me an idea. How have I not reached out to my home studio? I'm there every day. Maybe I will now. Hey, let's offer this. Even if it was like a pop-up, like that's what I'm even just trying to go for of like, cause I have a good friend that was in my cohort who's doing dance therapy out in Vegas at Millennium Dance Complex. I'm like, well, we have one in LA. Like I just was like, I'm working on that right now, but I'm trying to push that in so hard. I'm like sending, you know, like page after page of like, this is what it is. This is what we do. These are some themes. This is, you know, I'm like trying so hard to like, please just give me a chance to come in and do at least like one class. Well, I'd like to do a few just so we can gauge like an audience and try to get some people to come back.
Melissa, what's your elevator pitch? Give me DMT elevator pitch right now. What would you say if you were like, oh, wait, I got 3 seconds. Okay, so dance move therapy.
Oh my gosh, my worst nightmare. Yes.
Like that's all of our worst nightmare, honestly. I don't know.
If I have to, honestly, for me, I'm very like textbook and to the book, but I'm also like, okay, if I'm just talking to like somebody literally for like 3 seconds, I don't have time to give a textbook definition. Like I just basically say it's the integration of our mind, body, and spirit and learning how to like cope and manage our emotions and just knowing how to like identify that and how do our emotions affect our mind and our body and vice versa? You know, it's just becoming more of a whole, well-rounded person in terms of like how we identify and live our day to day. And, you know, how is this like essential and rooted in our lives? Because it is. So I try to just be really real and like upfront with it. Cause I feel like if you're just like, you know, like reading from a book, people are going to, they're going to tune out. Like I try to make it like personable and relatable of like, and also just give me a chance for you to come and experience this. Like I always try to invite the person I'm talking to of like, come to a group or like come to watch this or like I'll send them a link, you know, just to
feel it.
Get people like informed and to feel it for themselves. Yeah. So I think that's, you know, that's the key right there.
Move it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 1,000% because we can talk about it all day. And then when you're actually like feeling it within your body, it's such a different experience, you know, in one ear out the other. It's just, it's not the same. But it sounds like you're doing such incredible things in California already. So I'm curious what you're most proud of so far.
Boy, well, that one I think I'm honestly still working on because I've been in a lot of transitional work phases and in another one at the moment. But I think at this point, what really stands out to me is my first job out of school, which was at a residential treatment center. And, you know, it was like I had a dance therapy group once a week, but I was also like just an associate clinician too and was on certain people's like primary cases or they're basically in treatment. You have like a primary therapist, a secondary. Well, they built that later and then family. And so you've got like a whole team, but it was nice because I was a contractor first. So I'd only come in like once a week and half the time, honestly, people wouldn't come or they'd just be like, I don't want to do that. Like I don't want to, you know, it's the not knowing what dance therapy is. People automatically get scared or turned away from it because they think they have to like perform, you know, like we were saying earlier of like,
dance.
I get where that would be coming from. And I understand because honestly, if I didn't know anything about it too, and I wasn't a dancer, I'd probably be like, no way, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was important for me that when I did transition there more full time that I was like, okay, great. This is my opportunity to really like introduce this to the clients because I'm not only like just running this group, but I run groups all week now and I'm like on some of their cases. So I had way more of like that rapport with them. But it was hard because I'd get some groups that were like so invested and like really wanted to do the work. And then other groups are like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to go for a walk. And I'm like, okay, well, if we're going to go on a walk, we've got to like incorporate some of like the senses or like some mindfulness activity. Like we're going to do something, not just like walking. So I always tried like to get them engaged, but in particular, this like one group right when I was like basically I think it was like my 2 weeks left at this job, it was just the most like phenomenal group of clients that I really had worked with. Like they like lived and breathed this group. Like they were like, I would do this every single day if it was on the schedule. And it was because they just lowered their walls and they let themselves be vulnerable and they let themselves just play. And these were mostly like I want to say like clients are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, I don't think I had anybody under that actually at that time, but they just kind of didn't care. You know, they were sort of like, I'm just going to move how I want to move and what my body is speaking and saying to me. And they just did it. And it was almost like seeing all these adults, but really they were like 5-year-olds, you know, just like running around so carefree and happy. And I just remember kind of holding back for a moment while they were like really in the group and we were working on movement metaphors. So they were kind of doing their thing and I just stood back for this one moment just to kind of like observe and assess and just kind of see and witness their experience. And I just kind of remember I stood there and I just kind of without realizing, but just sort of like put my hand on my chest and like over my heart and was just like, man, this is why I love this work. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth, but like when it really gets to people or resonates, I was like, I could see myself doing this for years. Like I love this because I could just see them really connecting to their whole selves and like really feeling the weight of their emotions and how that affected their body and, you know, all of those things that we had been working on kind of for a whole time together. And it just was like amazing. I'll never forget that. It was like yesterday. It's so like vivid and it was just powerful. It's like they just dropped in, no questions asked. Like they were ready to go. And that group in particular was just like, they were there for it. Like they, you know, were in treatment, which was a hard thing for most of those people of kind of like, how did my life get here? Like, how did I get to this point where I had to be in a place, you know, like this? And how was my safety like on the line? And, you know, all of those things that kind of bring people into that kind of space. And they were ready to do the work. You know, I think when people are ready, like they're ready and they will do whatever it takes to do it. So they just really listened and they really wanted to know about it. And this made me feel so good as kind of a newer therapist who was also kind of going through like imposter syndrome of like, do I even know what I'm doing? You know, like I'm just kind of throwing all this stuff at them. And, but it worked. And I'll never forget that specific group of people because they really touched my heart. And I definitely hope to get back to groups at some point in the near future because that's what I'm missing out of my work at the moment, is that it's just one-on-one, which can also be very fruitful and wonderful, but the group and the connection and the community, that's like what I live for. And that's so true to who I am because, you know, being in a studio, you're with other people, you know, like I thrive off of that and that energy and being with people. Sometimes it's challenging to be just like a one-on-one all the time when you're missing all of that other engagement that could be happening, but you know, we'll get there at some point.
Is there a specific population that you really like working with, like in groups? Or, I mean, through your experiences, you kind of are talking about these adults like surrendering to this childlike play, which sounds so beautiful. But I'm curious too, if there's kids or teens or dancers that might be interested in connecting with you in California. Like, let's do the shameless plugs. These are my favorite parts.
You know, I love the adult population, young adults, older adults, elder adults. Like I'm open to all of that because I've worked mostly in treatment. I had most of that population, but my internships were all adolescents. I really enjoy adolescents too. Specifically, actually another population I really want to get connected back to, and it's one that I talked about in my thesis, which is also a really dear topic for me, but is individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. That has a very like special place in my heart, where I wrote it about like DMT and the benefits of like those with Down syndrome and adults with Down syndrome, because I had an uncle who had Down syndrome and he loved dance, loved movement. That was also another reason actually that got me into the work was his spirit. And he's no longer with us, but he lives in me every day because every recital I had, he would jump up there and dance. And, you know, just like he just was so free. And so that population specifically, I'm very kind of attached to, and I want to find ways to get connected back to working with those individuals as well. So that's another piece that I'm like, okay, that's also another long-term goal of like, I really miss working with that population. That was kind of my first internship of like, I worked with people with autism and Down syndrome and, you know, kind of all across the board there. And I loved it. They love dance and movement and even just like creative art and expression. And it was so easy to tap into the work with them because they could connect so well to it. So it was like a huge game changer for me. I was like, I would love to work with that population again. So I'm very open to all of those things. Haven't necessarily worked with children yet or like young kids or babies or, you know, anything like that, but I have a lot of dance friends on the other side of it who I've been kind of chatting with of like, if I ever do a group somewhere, like come try it. You know, doesn't hurt anything.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to need to have you come back for an episode just on your thesis. Cause that sounds interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to dive more into that. Cause it's a huge cornerstone of like why I went into dance therapy too, aside from what I said at the beginning.
And also just, you know, thesis work as a whole, but just, you know, I feel like there's so much more each, you know, thing that you've offered, each answer. I feel like we could even take each answer and go even more and question more because they were so juicy. There was so much in every response that you gave. I would like, for a second, I was sitting there, I was like, what's a movement metaphor? That sounds so sick. I want to ask her about that and like talk about that right now, but we're going to have to table it, unfortunately, because we're coming towards our time. Melissa, since this is your episode, is there anything else that you want to state in the 2 minutes that we have left so that we can, you know, make sure you've said everything that you wanted to say for now?
Yeah. Yeah. Super appreciate. I feel like I'm happy to kind of table for now. And this has been such an amazing part of my day and evening, and just being connected to the two of you. This has really been so wonderful, and I've enjoyed this time, and I'm like ready to dive in for another hour of like just talking. And I mean, I'm really loving this and enjoying it. So I would super, super love, you know, to come back for kind of round two and dive more into other things. But this has been amazing, and I just really appreciate it. And thank you both for having me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us and bringing tea. You were so prepared. I love that.
Oh, good. I feel like I'm always like over-prepared. Let's just say that.
Your immune system. You cite your sources. You come in. You're ready to go. It's perfect.
I had notes. I was full on like, which I, you know, I always do that and I actually never look at them, but it makes me feel good to like write things down because then I'm kind of like, okay, this is like productive and it'll sit in there.
Melissa's got her, you know, thing, her, what were we saying in the beginning? The traditions and
the rituals.
Oh, yeah.
The
rituals. That's another one.
But it's the feeling. it's the body mind connection. If I feel prepared and I think I'm prepared, I will. Think I'm prepared? Feel I'm prepared? Both. Yes and?
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us. We would absolutely love to have you back. Of course. There's so much more that we need to hear about. But for now, that's the tea. That's the tea.
Love it.
Our table is open with a seat for you. If you are a therapist that would like to join us as a guest on our podcast, please feel free to look at our Instagram page to find the Google form in the bio. We are also calling out to artists that would like to promote some of their work through our platform. Please feel free to slide into our DMs. If you are experiencing mental health challenges, please seek support. Our podcast episodes do not substitute for individual therapy. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you next week.